Yep, he's planning another project. So this Father's Day at Lowe's, tap into free gifts for dad. Get a free select Craftsman power tool when you buy a Craftsman V20 charger with 2 amp hour and 4 amp hour batteries. Plus, get a free DeWalt power tool when you buy a select 20 volt max XR 4 amp hour battery kit. Dad knows our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 7/14 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. A new book, Best Things First, highly recommended from Bjorn Lomborg. He is the principal in the CopenhagenConsensus.com website, and that is a way to find this book easily, to understand the 12 ambitions, Best Things First, in the immediate future and over these next decades. However, before we get to the list, which is inspiring, we need to know how we got to here. Bjorn, a very good evening to you. Thank you very much. Congratulations to you and your colleagues for putting together something that's imaginable, that's in proportion to human imagination. At the same time, you build upon the Millennium Development Goals of September of 2000, which are enormously successful by 2015. And then you point to the UN having had a good idea, then proceeded to develop the Sustainable Development Goals, and that is not going well. What was the Millennium Development Goal, and why was it successful? What is the Sustainable Development Goal that is not going well that you mean to improve upon? Good evening to you.
Hey, good evening, John. It's wonderful to be here. So look, the world has made a lot of promises. I mean, we've made lots of promises over the last centuries, really, about peace and education and prosperity and all kinds of things. But in 2000, as you mentioned, with the so-called Millennium Development Goals, the world actually hit upon a very simple set of goals that we promised for 2015, where we said, we want to get people out of poverty. We want to have people out of hunger. We want to get kids in school. We want moms and kids to die less. We want good things in general. We want more clean water and sanitation, a few other things. It was a very limited, very simple list. And not surprisingly, that actually energized the world. We ended up spending much more money on development aid. Much of it went to these particular things. And while we didn't succeed with all of them, and not all of these successes were because of the Millennium Development Goals. I mean, part of the reason why we lifted a lot of people out of poverty was because of China. But the fundamental point was the world got together about these simple points, and they actually made the world a lot better. In 1990, about 12 million kids under five died each year. In 2050, that number had halved. Only, and there's scare quotes around the only 6 million kids died each year. That's still 6 million too many, but it's fantastic that actually 6 million kids were not dying anymore. And a large part of this was because of the Millennium Development Goals. So we made very simple goals, and we actually made the world better. Unfortunately, as you also pointed out, then the world decided, oh, this was a good idea. We should set more goals like this. But of course, the feeling was, but there's a lot of things we didn't talk about in the Millennium Development Goals. There are always lots of different things. So the UN actually invited everyone to come with ideas. And when you ask everyone what are good ideas, you can't be surprised that there's a lot of good ideas, a lot of well-meaning thoughts. We ended up with the new set of goals, and you know, the US and every other country in the world have signed up to these, running from 2016 to 2030. These new goals are so expansive that it's not an exaggeration to say they literally promise everything to everyone, everywhere, all the time. And so not surprisingly, there's 169 targets. When you have 169 priorities, you literally have no priorities. You're simply saying everything is important. So we promised to end poverty and end hunger and end disease. But we've also promised to stop climate change and stop corruption, stop war, get everybody a good education and get organic apples and community gardens to everyone and everything else in between. And look, this is all nice and wonderful. I mean, I appreciate the intention. But when you've said everything is important, it really means nothing has gotten any attention. And so we actually don't see any real improvement since we made these new targets. And that matters because this year we're at halftime. So they run from 2016 to 2030. 2023 is halftime, and we're nowhere near halfway. And so what we tried to say is, look, the world promised everything. We probably already knew back then it was a mistake. Now we can see it was a mistake. Instead of promising everything, let's promise the smartest stuff first. If we can't do everything, let's do the very most efficient things first. That's really what this book is about, and what we're trying to push. Let's do the stuff that really does make a difference.
It's important to understand how practical and straightforward is the recommendation of best things first in comparison to what Bjorn just spoke about, the Sustainable Development Goals. He provides a chart, the 17 goals of Sustainable Development Goals, based on the trends over these last years for lower middle income countries. And some of them achieved their goal in the 23rd century. Some never. 23rd century, you ask for an example, sustainable cities and communities, 23rd century, life below water, 23rd century, reduced inequality, 23rd century. We're looking at something that is beyond any version of science fiction I've read recently. So you pause a little bit at this list, Bjorn, and I ask the question of a science fiction reader. Was this meant cynically in some fashion? You'll never achieve this? Sort of like, the old vision of climbing through the Himalayas to ask the guru, what is the meaning of life? Is that what the UN has devolved to making empty remarks like this? I'm alarmed.
I spoke to a lot of the people who were involved in this. And if you talk to nice, well-meaning people, would you rather say a lot of good stuff, or would you rather be the guy who just said, no, let's just do these few things first? But that means we say no to a lot of other things. No, of course you're not. That's just asking for trouble. So these were well-meaning people that were simply making promises left and right because it sounded good. I get that point. And if you ask most politicians, they know that you have to prioritize, but it sounds better on national TV to always say, yes, of course, we should also do that. Oh, and yes, I agree with that as well. So it just became this list where we ended up saying yes to everything. But of course, saying yes to everything actually means that you kind of said no to everything.
We move to where we are right now, which is an analysis of what we can do over these next years. And the 12 best policies, not keeping them from you, tuberculosis, education, maternal and newborn health, agricultural research and development, malaria, e-procurement, nutrition, land tenure security, chronic diseases, trade, child immunization, and skilled migration. That's the list. But we need to have a tool here. It's called cost-benefit analysis. What is that, Bjorn?
So it's a simple thing that every one of us use in our daily lives. You and I and nobody else, even if you're Bill Gates or someone else, they can't afford everything. So you have to ask yourself, of the things I like, how much is it going to cost and how much good is it going to do? And hopefully you try to maximize that so that you spend the least amount of money and you get the biggest bang for your buck. And that's what we're basically saying for the same things for the Sustainable Development Goals. Look, the world is promising lots of stuff. We're not delivering. Where can we get the biggest bang for the next dollar we spend? So we simply looked across all the literature and worked with lots of the world's top economists to identify which targets could actually deliver the most value. And that means save the most lives, make the world the most prosperous for every additional dollar we spend. So, you mentioned maternal and newborn health. One of the things, and one of the things I think people will also get from reading the book is there are so many problems in the world that we never hear about. But actually, every year, 2.7 million kids die within the first month of life. And that's 2.3 million kids. And then about 300,000 moms die in childbirth. That's totally unnecessary. And we know how to fix it. Say about 700,000 kids die because they don't start breathing when they've been born. This is true in rich countries too, and we have a very simple thing to do it. You just simply have a ventilator, a hand pump. You put in air into their lungs, and then they start gasping, and then they start breathing, and they survive. this cost maybe $75 for one of those hand pumps. And over its lifetime in 3 years in the hospital, it'll save perhaps 25 kids. Why are we not buying that? And, you know, it's simple stuff like that. And we just put in lots of this simple, well-documented stuff. And what we find is that across all these areas you mentioned, we can pay not very much. We're talking about $35 billion. This is not nothing, but it's in the big scheme of things, certainly in any sort of international setting, it really is couch change. $35 billion. And the benefit is that we will save 4.2 million lives each and every year. And we will make the poor part of the world $1.1 trillion richer. That's about a dollar per person per day in the poor half of this world. That's just outstandingly incredible benefit. So for very little money, we can basically deliver an enormous amount of benefit. And so when we do all of the costs and benefits, it turns out that for every dollar spent, you will deliver about $52 of social benefits for the world in terms of people not dying and in terms of people ending up being better off. That's just phenomenal. We should do that.
At $35 billion, it struck me as a rounding error. I couldn't find anything comparable in the debate in the United States and Europe right now about what would cost $35 billion. However, is there a number? I could not find it in the Kindle of the book. Is there a number that applies to the Sustainable Development Goals? Because we now have the word trillion in American economy. Is there a number for, you know, life underwater, something like that? Or did they not do cost benefit?
So the UN never did a cost benefit. And I kind of get why. It's really hard and it probably wouldn't look good. But there's a number of different estimates out there. They're all underestimates. The underfunding of these sustainable development goals is somewhere between $2 and $15 trillion.
Right.
So it's possible that we have promised somewhere in the order of $10 to $15 trillion of additional cost. Just to give you a sense of proportion, the total tax intake of every nation in the entire world is $13 trillion. We basically promised away every single tax dollar collected anywhere in the world for these goals. And of course, that's just not realistic. And so, you know, the UN Secretary General, depressingly, I think, will come out next month and basically say, look, it's not going very well with all our promises. So we need to have a stimulus fund of extra money for the SDGs. We need another $500 billion for the SDGs. And I think it's almost laughing in people's face of saying, look, we have done this really badly. So now give us more money to do it badly, but with more money. Clearly, what we should be saying is, well, we've vastly exaggerated how much money is available out there. Let's at least start with a much smaller amount that's actually doable. And the reality, of course, is, as you mentioned, that, you know, the $35 billion, just to give you a sense of proportion, that's the increase in spending on cosmetics over the last 2 years for the world. So again, I'm not saying we shouldn't buy cosmetics, and I'm sure a lot of people like what they do to them or to their partner. But the fundamental point is, this is something we can afford. And surely, you know, saving 4.2 million lives, which is about 14% of all death in the poor part of the world, or making the poor part of the world about 10 or 11% richer each and every year, that's something we should aspire to. For $35 billion, we should do that. That's a great deal.
Bjørn Lomborg is the principal in CopenhagenConsensus.com, a website where you can find a way to read Best Things First, a new book about 12 policies, cost-benefit analysis for the immediate future. When we come back, two of those policies that particularly interest me now because of the geopolitics of the moment, trade and migration. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.